Turn next on our conversation to talk a little bit about some Sphere classroom content and resources to support your learning and the work of your students. I'm very excited to have my Sphere colleague, Elise Alter, who is our content development manager, join us for a conversation with one of our incredible educators, Stephanie Hasty, to talk a little bit about some resources they've been working on together. Without giving away the game, I'm just going to turn it directly over to Elise. Elise, take us away.
Thanks so much, Alan. It's so good to be with you all this evening. And thank you so much to our amazing speakers. I'm so excited to read the book. And I think that we have a lot of content that will help address some of the questions that I saw coming through the chat, you know, in addition to what the speakers shared about how this is a great text that you can chunk and use within high school. We have some co good content that I'm going to share just momentarily that can help you introduce texts like these. In a variety of school environments, whether it's in a state that has you know, specific policies that may make some things challenging or not. So either way, there's some really good content that we have for you. So our content, just for those who are joining us for the first time, welcome, and to our alumni, so I'm excited to have you back. Our content ranges from ELA to social studies to a little bit of STEM to government and politics. We have a wide range of interdisciplinary content that you can use in your 5th to 12th grade classrooms. All of our content is it's nonpartisan, it is viewpoint diverse. It really guides students into getting to the core of developing their own sense of self and opinion about the topics that are usually contentious, and helping them understand how to defend their points of view with evidence. So giving them a range of perspectives on something, let's say like death penalty or qualified immunity, which is coming up in a unit that we are producing on criminal procedure, so stay tuned on that. Or something around the Civil Rights Act unit that we have that my wonderful teacher, Stephanie Hasty, who's our content contributor to that unit, she created also our first unit on ELA. I'm gonna introduce her shortly. Those lessons looking at legacies of historical events, particularly Supreme Court decisions and what they have in terms of relevance for today. So without further ado, I would love to just share a little bit about how our website works and then guide you to some of our new content that Stephanie and I are going to discuss. So I'm going to share my screen. Our website is sphereed.org, sphere-ed.org. And you can let us know if you have any difficulty seeing the screen. When you go to our website, you can see our homepage has some information just about current lessons, upcoming events. Sphere on the Road is where you would find webinars like these and information about things like our upcoming Sphere Summit and how to contact us. For our content specifically, you can go to the top, click Classroom Content, and you can browse through specific units that are designed to house sequential lessons such as our civil discourse and literature, which I'm going to call out in a second, our Hallmark Centers of Progress and Heroes of Progress lessons that call out different spaces and places and people that have contributed to human progress over time. It's really great units. And we also have an area where you can browse by topic or simply search in a key term, like let's say Brown versus Board of Education, and it'll generate lessons that are relevant to your search. So we have a really wide breadth of content available to you in a range of disciplines. Before we get to the Civil Rights Act unit, that is our new one that is coming up with our new lesson on Brown v. Board, I want to point to the civil discourse and literature piece that I was mentioning a little bit ago. And this unit is really a wonderful way to plug and play books that you may have that, let's say, like To Kill a Mockingbird or The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison or whatever book it may be. It also may be just something as short as a simple poem that allows you to use literature as a gateway to helping students see themselves, kind of using this windows, mirrors, and sliding doors perspective and the world around them and understanding their place in it and using civil discourse as a way to approach that. So this is a six-part unit. It has a whole range of activities and ideas. And I'm kind of going back to what was discussed in this webinar, ways to integrate also the arts and music. Those are some of the sources as well. So even though it does say literature, you can absolutely use song lyrics, whatever might be the most appropriate thing for you to teach your students what you are trying to achieve. This is a great way to do that. And then if you go to the bottom of this unit, you'll see some of the information around pacing, how to space it out, different supplementals, lots of great stuff. And all of our lessons are downloadable in a PDF form for you. Everything is free. And we are always here to help support you if you have questions about this. Our exciting new unit is on the Civil Rights Act and really looking at commemorating it at its 60th anniversary this year. Also commemorating, as part of that, the 70th anniversary of the Brown v. Board ruling. Both of these have significant legacies for historical and for currently. And it's something that we felt very deeply was something that we needed to commemorate and produce some great content on. When we, I just wanted to point this out so we can have this queued up for you. We'll be sharing this all so you have the links and everything in the chat and also in the email that goes out. So don't worry about that. But when we decided to do this, we wanted to have a unit that really captured the essence of these legacies. And this is something that I want my awesome counterpart here, Stephanie Hasty, to discuss. Just want to introduce her really briefly. Stephanie Hasty is amazing, honors English and IB instructor that is currently teaching in Maryland. She hails from Missouri, and she has over 20 years of experience teaching AP, honors, IB, literature, and English. She has designed different curriculum across the board and is just a fantastic contributor to our content here at Sphere. And she is the one that designed that last ELA unit that I just showed you on civil discourse through literature and is the creator of this upcoming Civil Rights Act at 60 unit. What we have currently here is our Brown v. Board, How Does It Continue to Shape America lesson. That is our first drop of that unit. And I would love for Stephanie to touch a little bit on why we kind of did this and how this lesson can be used in your class and some of the real important points that can be made from it. I think we should have Stephanie queued up.
Samantha, can you make Stephanie a co-host? I believe she won't be able to unmute herself otherwise. There we go. Stephanie should be able to.
Hi, thanks. First of all, I apologize for not showing my face. I'm literally sitting in my car in the parking lot waiting for my daughter to get out of choir practice. I love being a parent. Yay. But yeah, what I really appreciate about these Sphere lessons that we're working on, I love the bipartisan aspect of it. And I love the focus on history through a language arts lens, which we don't really get to see a lot of. In the English world, you know, blending all those things together. With this Brown versus the Board of Education lesson, what we're talking about are some key Supreme Court rulings that helped shape Brown v. Board. Then we're gonna go more in depth about what Brown v. Board is, and then talk about what it is today. I think it's important to note that depending on where you are, like here in Montgomery County, Maryland, I can pretty much teach whatever I want through a lens, whatever I want. But where I was in Missouri, I had to do it in such a way. I loved what Stephanie said, talking about Mizzou and how you've got like small towns and big towns all blended together. And in Missouri, you've got all sorts of diversity all blended together. And so what does that look like when you don't want to offend? And by the way, I am... my mom is white. My dad is black. Sorry, can't see that in my face. And so I also understand that line between sometimes I'm not black enough, sometimes I'm not white enough. And how does that look when teaching? But these lessons, I hope, share the experience for everyone, no matter what gender you are, no matter what color you are, you're coming at these lessons through a lens. And it's important, I think, to especially when it comes to these anniversaries of landmark events concerning Black and African Americans, that they are approached through whatever lens is comfortable for the teacher teaching. And so there's lots of ways to approach it. This particular lesson, you're creating a timeline of events. So students are creating timeline events centered around some landmark Supreme Court activities. And then the next day, they're asked to read the content, the Brown v. Board decision, the transcript, and then communicate with their peers and others about what it did for us as the United States now and then and going forward. And as we can see in schools across the United States, it looks so very different. And it's important to let the teachers control that communication and that conversation.
Absolutely. And when we're thinking about this lesson in the broader scheme of the entire unit, you know, it's not a unit that has to, it'll be five lessons, but it doesn't have to be taught all at once. Could you touch a little bit about the unit that's going to be coming up that you completed, how this fits in the broader scope of it?
Sure. The unit that's coming up is through the Civil Rights Act lens. There's a lesson about the Civil Rights Act and digging deep into its text as well. And then talking about one of the favorite things that I wrote was talking about AI perception of the United States and what that looked like on a BuzzFeed article, and then what that looks like to students and the conversations you can have with that. I love the whole entire thing that we just talked about with that book, because I think that pop culture has meaning and purpose, and that includes BuzzFeed articles and AI and all of those things that get students interested. And then you bring in the learning, and then you bring in the lesson, and you go as deep as they can, right? Because you want them to learn and understand, and you let them have the conversations and find out for themselves what those things look like. But the lesson will take you through, again, it is plug and play. It's totally like whatever book you're teaching, whether it's To Kill a Mockingbird or whether it's poetry or whether it's music, plug and play your activities through art, literature, get the kids discussing and talking about these things.
Absolutely. And something that's really great about this unit, plus the other one that's on the civil discourse through literature lens, is that both of them, while they are designed technically for high school, they can be adapted for middle school, right? So even though this lesson here, if we go to the bottom, this is also on all of our ELA lessons that you'll see for those that are ELA teachers or looking to use these lessons. You can check out the Common Core State Standards attached to them and also cross-curricular connections as part of that. But even though it is designated as high school, this could definitely be used in middle school, right, Stephanie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What I think is super important is that my daughter is an eighth grader, and they're having conversations in history class, in English class, about just and unjust things and things of that nature. And so it's super important that they have the proper communications, because you don't want the voice you don't want to lose the voices. You want the conservative voice to be heard. You want the liberal voice to be heard. You want the, and I'm saying that about eighth graders, because it's true though, the way our nation is today, we're so super political that kids, already have like ideas in their heads about things. The thing that I'm trying to do with these lessons is get kids communicating about what other people are thinking, not like what about what they're thinking. Get kids talking about how they perceive the world, not how other people perceive the world, through literature, through primary text, through art, through music.
Yes, absolutely. And this is something that I think both for this lesson and the broader Civil Rights Act unit that we're going to be producing that you will all see posted very soon this spring can be done interdisciplinary with involving the arts classes, involving the social studies classes. I'm sure that there are multiple interdisciplinary ways that you could plan if you have a PLC, ways to do this and find different Common Core standards that align with that so it can meet your needs. And then of course, 21st century skill standards. I think that's what's so wonderful about this unit. And like you were saying, Stephanie, students already have preconceived ideas. I mean, we know based on studies that children by 5 years old have developed a sense of stereotyping. They understand race to an extent, you know, in the broader context, in a general state. So this is something that's really essential to bring down even to that middle school level and to do it in an appropriate way and differentiate it. And there's different tips and tricks that you provide in that overview for the civil rights unit that's coming through, plus also in that civil discourse through literature, pacing. And I think that's what's so wonderful about your units is that you highlight all the different questions that teachers could have of, okay, this is great, but then what about this? And you have some sort of answer in there for it. In the same vein of, this is a conversation in terms of the questions that come up in the chat earlier as to, you know, how to teach this and maybe challenging education spaces. You provide different resources and tools of how to explain this both to your students and a little bit to parents and things that can go home. We also have in our classroom content for those that are new to us, we have a civil discourse primer. So again, you can find all of this on our classroom content page. We have the civil discourse through literature unit first and foremost. You will find that upcoming unit very soon on civil rights. We will let you know when that's published. But the Getting Started with Civil Discourse unit provides, as an overview for all disciplines, information on just civil discourse through different subjects, how to approach it with administrators, how to approach it with parents. Our homework piece is our primer. And in this, you can find at the home to school connection, excuse that for going so fast, but I wanted to point out an email template. So let's say you're doing... To Kill a Mockingbird, for instance, because it was just brought up, or maybe it's the text that we just talked about for Race in the American Story, like you want to share this with your students, maybe you have to send an email home to parents. We have the tools embedded within our website to help support you in that process, even conversation starters and guides for not for students, but for parents that you may have to speak with or administrators, or if you are an administrator, because we want to support you too, how to deal with talking with, let's say your overarching board, other admin, your teachers or parents that might be talking with you. And I'm sure, Stephanie, you've had to do this many times in the different hats that you've worn, even in Missouri and also in Maryland.
Absolutely. And what I think is super important about the conversations, I say this so much, you cannot communicate clearly enough or often enough. And so when you get your ego out of it and you understand that you have to communicate a different way for different people, it's genuinely easier to have these kinds of dialogues with students and with parents and with administrators and in your local school and community. The ego has to go. The communicating has to be strong, has to be evident from the get-go.
Absolutely. Communication is key. This is something that, again, is... While it's such a necessary topic, we know that parents or admin or somebody may have questions. So again, we want you to be supported in the best way possible when trying to teach our content. So we offer as much supplemental resources as possible for you. I know Stephanie put her email in the chat. You can always also feel free to email us if you have questions about this. We are happy to help address that with you. Some really cool differentiating pieces about our content is, again, that viewpoint diverse piece that I mentioned, that Stephanie mentioned, that it really is guiding the student to come up with their own understanding based in evidence and defend that. And really with an eye of everything is fostering civil discourse. Everything's intentional in that way. All of our content is geared to helping you as the educator be empowered to do that. It's not student facing. So on our website, we don't have specifically like student lessons or student games or things that they might be doing. Like they would be going to the website. This is for teachers going to our website and using these lessons because you are our priority, as well as admins, you know, all educators, those in the education field. So that way we can make sure that you are supported as best as possible. And we provide educational resources for your own professional growth. So, you know, we offer that through classroom content and also through professional development. On the content side, a piece like what Stephanie did for Brown v. Board, not only is that a lesson, but there's information just in terms of contextual information for the teacher themselves in part of the overview. The same thing with the other lessons that are part of the Civil Rights Act, because I mean, I'm a former educator. Stephanie's currently an educator. We have multiple educators on our team. We work with educators all the time. We know your time is strapped. We know that you also should not be expected to know every single ounce of every aspect of history or ELA or whatever your discipline is. There should be some sort of level of understanding of that. And we want to make sure that you're supported with, if you're teaching something like Brown v. Board, That you have a good understanding as to what happened there, aside from just the ruling, but some of the context around it. And then you can feel prepared to teach it, because it shouldn't be expected, you know, every single nuance of every single topic that you are doing. So I do hope that as you all go through our website and you look at some of our content, you see some of that embedded in there, and find ways to use this in a variety of your classrooms. Stephanie, any other points about the lessons that you would like to highlight for the Civil War?
I commented, but I hope that people in Florida are not afraid, or other states, frankly, are not afraid to teach these lessons. And I'm more than willing to like talk to people via email, of course, or Zoom or what have you, talk through like your content, your standards, and what you can and cannot do. I think that this work is so vitally important that we have these conversations and we find ways to not be afraid to teach real history, literature, text, and things of that nature. And so I hope that people go through those lessons and you see like how, hopefully, as a Missourian, who literally was the first Black person to graduate from her high school in 1994. As a Missourian in a small rural town, I understand so much the importance that that small towns need the other voice. And I think people, no matter what color you are, should be teaching all sorts of diversity in your classrooms. So please.
Yes,
look absolutely. At these lovely lessons.
They are lovely lessons. And something else, while we look at historical events, and again, our lessons are not all just about history, they're on a variety of topics. We look at past to present and really the legacies and the complexities and issues that might be arising or bubbling up around the rhetoric relating to them that students are thinking about and talking about. And again, to Stephanie's point of what I mentioned before, you know, on our website, these resources, they really handhold you through if you really need to have letters, templates, you know, whatever it is that you need to find the best way to approach your administration, or if you are administration, the other stakeholders that are involved. So that way you could be best prepared to teach content that might be challenging or might be contentious in your area, or you might have a lot of hoops to jump through. We provide as much as possible for you to feel like you have a pathway to success and advocating for you. And I will also, you know, give a shout out to our professional development, that if you have a school that is interested in doing this, you know, we have a lot of programming around this. One thing I will mention, this is actually this time last year, we dropped your first unit, Stephanie, with us on civil discourse through literature. And that recording goes over book banning. It goes over how to use that unit in depth. It talks about some of the same things that I'm seeing mentioned in the chat. So we can send you that in the chat. If you go through the professional development page, as you're perusing on our website, you should be able to see past recordings. There's lots of good recordings there, but that one specifically, I highly recommend. It offers some really good meaty content. And you could skip to the different parts that are relevant for you. But I know that we are at time. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us. The Brown
thank
V
you.
Board. Thank you. The Brown V Board lesson is live on our website. We're so excited to have you guys preview this first. You're our first people previewing this and use it. And we will be dropping the rest of Stephanie's awesome unit very shortly this spring. You can check that out probably by the end of March.
Elise, thanks so much for sharing a little bit of those Sphere resources with the educators here. Really appreciate you all joining us tonight. I wanted to very briefly conclude our conversation by again thanking Stephanie Hasty for joining us. Stephanie, you're incredible. Thank you again for both joining us in the conversation and the wonderful resources you've helped put together. And Elise, thank you so much for engaging in that conversation about the many ways in which Sphere content can help support the educators as they continue engaging in these challenging conversations throughout the school year. As we draw to a close, a couple of quick answers to some questions that repeatedly popped up in the chat. Yes, we'll send you professional development certificates following the event. You can look for those by email from us over the course of the next handful of days. We'll also be sharing the recording of this event, so if you have friends or colleagues who couldn't make it, that'll be up on our website within about a week or so. Finally, I did want to encourage you all, if you've not yet had a chance to participate in Sphere Summit, please join us this summer. It's our keynote event for the whole year. It's a 5-day 4-night full scholarship event in Washington, D.C. We bring educators together from all across the country to dig into conversations like these in challenging events, but with scholars, experts, policymakers, members of Congress. Your hotel, your food, there's a $500 travel stipend. It's incredible. Check it out. We'll send more information about that along with our certificate. With all of that, it's been a long evening. I know many of you have things to do before you can call it an evening. So thank you all so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to host you. And with that, enjoy the rest of your evening. Thanks again for coming.